welcome to Season 7 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. For this season, we're going back to our roots and talking to all sorts of creatives from a wide variety of industries, backgrounds, and creative endeavors about how they make it all work, from mental health to relationships to money to the creative process itself, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne, and I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. Big thanks to the band Blessed for letting us use our song Endure as our intro music for this season. You can find their music at Blessed, that's B-L-E-S-S-E-D, band.bandcamp.com, or wherever you buy your music. And to Hannah Spencer for all of the design and branding and the strategy work she does for us. And Lonnie Webb for running our social media. Thank you for listening. Hope you all dig it. Hi. Hello. Welcome to episode 82 of The Process. I am stoked to introduce to you, if you don't already know him, if you're not familiar with him and his work, Massimo Mangiardo is an artist specializing in painting, illustration, and murals. He's worked with skateboard and apparel companies and has completed murals for many esteemed restaurants, businesses, and organizations, such as Winsun Bakery in New York, Maiden Lane, and the Grand Street Settlement in New York, as well as for AWOL mural projects during Art Basel in Miami, and many more. I met Massi many years ago, before the first time I moved to New York, which was 2013. I think, yeah, I must have. So anyway, I've known him for a hot minute. He worked, in addition to all those things I just listed, he also did a lot of work with Joint Venture, which is our friend Danny's business. You hear us talk about Danny in this episode without any context. We're referring to Danny Newberg. He is a wildly good chef who runs Joint Venture, which I don't know how he describes it. It's like a culinary experience company. He's a chef. He does a bunch of events. He collaborates with people a lot. He has made some of the best meals I've ever had in my life. And Massi helped him with his branding, initial branding, and did a lot of his menus and promotional flyers and stuff. So we talk about that a lot, and that is what we're referring to. In addition to that, Massi also shares his winding path and different jobs he had to support himself in New York as an artist, the importance of getting a studio space and how that really changed things for his career, how he has developed a distinctive style without getting bored or gimmicky, the challenges of pricing your art, his road to better planning and building a sustainable foundation to build a business off of, technical tricks for mural painting and just illustration and painting and stuff in general. He shares a lot of like very actionable things that he has done and learned over the years and a whole bunch more. I really enjoyed catching up with Massi. I hope you dig this conversation and that you've been enjoying this season. If so, reach out to us anytime at hi@theprocess.co or on Instagram @theprocess.co. We would love to hear from you and what you've been thinking about this season. Sweet. Hope you like it, and we'll catch you next week.
My name is Massimo Mangiardo. Right now I kind of work as a freelance designer, illustrator, and like mural artist. I'm starting to get into painting more, but that's what I do for Massachusetts. Spent a lot of time in New York, but right now I'm in Miami. That's the gist.
What part of Massachusetts are you from?
I'm from Berkshire County, Western Mass, kind of countryside, small towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super nice out there.
What are some of the recent like mural projects you're working on?
The most recent ones, I did two in June. One of them was for this community center called the Grand Street Settlement, which I was sort of like awarded the job by not being the winner of a contest. I like entered this contest for the Essex Street Market mural and I got to the top three, but was like immediately contacted by some of the people on the voting committee to do something else for them. And it was paid and everything. So it didn't really matter that I lost in the end. It was kind of just like a different project surfaced immediately after. So that was one thing. And then the other one right after that, for the Winsun Bakery. I've been friends with one of the owners for probably 6 years, and he's expanding pretty quickly and I've done other artwork for his restaurant and stuff, so.
I was gonna say, yeah, you've done, like,
flyers, and I've had art shows there and stuff like that. So he asked if I could do it, and I squeezed it in. And then kind of working towards doing more stuff in New York over the next couple months. Yeah.
I feel like you do have a very specific, like, signature style.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, at this point, I think I do. It wasn't really that way, like, 2 or 3 years ago. I, like, kind of had it simmering up. It, like, surfaced all of a sudden when I was doing, like, tons of flyers for Danny for Joint Venture. And we just started needing them quicker and, like, cleaner and better each time. And I started, like, freestyling a little bit more in the sketchbook and then tracing on top of the really loose stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of always started to feel the same way. And it was, like, this process I had all of a sudden to keep hitting that same note or style. So it just came from tons of practice, making tons of finished pieces. So, yeah, I agree with you, but it's pretty recent, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some of the early Joint Venture stuff. I'm sure if we laid them all out, we could see.
Yeah, there's a progression for sure. Another part of it was kind of like taking this technique that I had done on one of the Joint Venture flyers and applying it to this monthly thing that they do on Instagram. It's every October on Instagram. There's this like hashtag thing called Inktober where you draw an ink drawing every day of the month. I did a huge series of drawings of people just kind of waiting around and just like really leaned in on what I like to draw. And then it like really became kind of crystallized. And it was like, oh, I have a style now. So it was like a lot of different things, but those were kind of things I can point to that how it ended up the way it is now.
What is it that you like to draw most?
Mostly people, like movement. People moving and within that kind of like clothing and drapery, like, but in a kind of just like a almost like a doodle technical sense, like where it's like I'll pile stuff on just because it's fun to draw. Like, so if, like, instead of drawing like a plain person in a t-shirt and pants, they'll have a jacket and a backpack and a bandana and a hat and goggles and
right.
Like that. It's more about like drawing the shapes that like kind of contrast on top of each other. And then like underneath it, there's like the human figure aspect. A lot of it just has to do with like how it feels to draw those shapes.
I feel like your work really strikes a balance of like a simplistic
mm-hmm.
detail. Like it's all
yeah.
very liney,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, you have a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's nice because now when I approach a piece, I at least have like a, finding a style is like a stressful, weird thing to like look back at your portfolio of stuff and be like, does it look like one person did this? And I think a lot of people ask themselves that though. Yeah, I do it more and more where I'm kind of like leaning in and trying to push it harder and like apply it to different stuff. So it's not just like sort of a gimmick.
Do you feel like it's necessary to find or beneficial to find an idea? And define a style as an artist?
No, like, in some ways it's beneficial because then you're, like, one person who does this thing. And now I'm not, like, slam-jam busy all the time, but I get hit up at least every month for a couple drawings that people come straight to me to do private commission work. And it's because they saw it when I was working for Nolita or working for Danny or they saw it on my Instagram. And it's very specific now, like, what people want, so I think in some ways it can benefit because you're the go-to for that one thing. And if people like it, then you can kind of cash in. But then, like, the other side of it is that you don't want to become a gimmick. Like, I mean, at least I don't want to. I don't know if it would actually be more lucrative to just do one thing.
Right.
But I feel like it's good to kind of, like, try to push it out of the box a little bit each time. But there's a lot of artists, like, I mean, most famous, like, Gerhard Richter. Like, none of his stuff looks exactly the same. Like, he has like a couple different completely different styles he works in, like,
yeah.
It's just a kind of a basic example of how some people doesn't matter. And then once you have a name for yourself as an artist, you can kind of
yeah.
do whatever.
Right.
So yeah,
I feel like too, if you're doing like commercial work though, like that having the styles becomes more important, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm getting hired for the style now,
right.
You know,
yeah.
So and hopefully better clients keep hiring me and more people want
yeah.
that style. So for me, I'm just trying to make the style better. And until it's sort of like tapped out and I can move on, I probably won't flip everything upside down and start changing what I'm working on.
Do you ever feel yourself like getting kind of bored with it?
Yeah, I feel like it happens like once a month.
Yeah.
You go through phases where you're like, oh, I'm killing it, crushing it, like I'm capable of anything, and then you'll make like one dud piece that felt too easy or doesn't look that good and felt overconfident or whatever, and then it's like you sink into like a doubt period, and then usually kind of like have to work through that and break into something new or challenge yourself with something that you didn't know you were capable of, or even if it's just a little bit different. Definitely, I feel like it happens a lot where you're like, don't feel confident, or you feel bored or stale. Yeah.
How do you find that challenge to just like pick something new or reach out to like a bigger client?
Yeah, I mentioned this before. Recently, I've just been kind of painting instead of doing stuff that I would normally draw, whether it's like people or like a simple like building scape kind of thing, like the Nolita pieces, and just painting them in oil and like going full max color and like trying to just make it, you know, realistic in that style, like realistic feel and color and tone. And that's been like a really good like rabbit hole for me. Each time I get kind of, cause I can kind of crank out 10 or 15 illustrations a month now if I have to, but paintings, they're just so much more demanding and like kind of like suck up all your attention, and then the payoff is like so much higher if you pay attention to what you're doing the whole time.
And when you say painting, do you mean murals or like
I'm talking about like just on canvas, like, you know, not relatively small compared to the murals. The murals are like an in-between where it's sort of like I can take the illustration style and try painting it like huge.
Right.
And that's like another level of challenge too, where it's just like, technically, can I recreate like exactly what I promised or what I had down in the sketch? I'll make like the illustrations kind of more wild like every time. The one I did at Grand Street was like super demanding. It took like a week. I was probably working like 10 hours a day, and I had like multiple helpers throughout the week, like one person a day sometimes two, and then one day they had like a bunch of people help me, and it still took, it's just like so many colors and so many overlapping shapes.
Yeah.
So yeah, the murals are like, I mean, I'd like to eventually bring it all together and sort of have this like style that is everything combined, which is sort of what I'm working on. But right now I sort of like break it up into like the illustration work and the mural work and the painting work. And the illustration work is like, it can also still get better. But when I finish a really good illustration, it's not like when I finish a really good mural or when I finish a really good painting.
Okay.
So that's sort of status at this point.
So the others are like maybe a little bit more fulfilling because they're more challenging.
Yeah.
Like a little bit more of an investment.
Yeah. And I feel like it's stressful to dive super deep into those projects that take a week to paint and 3 weeks to develop and stuff like that. But I don't know, even still, like at the end of it, when I do what I tried to do, it's like, oh, I could probably do better.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So every time it's sort of like there's no point in getting comfortable. It doesn't do anything. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're just like churning, if you don't mind churning some.
Yeah.
Out,
I mean,
right.
You can just, I could probably, you know, draw. Well, that'd be like a whole other thing if I just make like thousands of drawings. I mean, I could probably do that and get really good at drawing things really fast. So it's not a bad thing too. But I mean, just to, I feel like if I don't look at my stuff and critique it and, or like say to myself that I could have done better, then I just don't think that's true,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
So the paintings, is that like for like people to put on their walls?
Yeah. I did one for North Brooklyn Farms like a couple months ago, mm-hmm. like before they had opened for the season. They didn't take donations this year from like corporate, like big funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they did like their own fundraiser. And so I donated, like, he wanted me to donate an illustration, but I asked if he'd be cool with me doing a painting. And I did like just this oil painting of the bridge, and they sold it. And then I just got like a handful of requests like immediately after.
Cool.
So I've been kind of doing some private commission work. People keep asking for the Williamsburg Bridge though.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh,
so I have to branch out and paint some other paintings so people can see that I can paint other stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like there are options here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're like fine art. At this point, it's just cityscapes. Last summer, I took an oil painting class to kind of get back in touch with it. Because I right at the end of college, I tried oil painting, and I like really, really enjoyed it. And then I just never really picked it up again after I graduated, like it's like 10 years ago. So I took a class with this guy at SVA. I don't remember his name.
What's
SVA? School of Visual Arts. Okay. It's like 26th Street and 6th Avenue or something. He had such a good way of teaching like technical oil painting. It just kind of like opened this door. And I was like, oh, I can paint. I can paint okay, at least. So ever since then, I've been kind of getting back into it. I'm trying to find reasons to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How did you originally get into art?
I was just kind of raised with it. Like, my dad makes furniture, and he had tons of art books around, and my brother and I would just draw a lot, like, when we were little kids. I was, like, decent at it. When I was in middle school, I was, like, the one who was good at drawing, and then high school, I was, like, still pretty good, and then even when I got to college, I was still pretty good, but I wish I had gone to college when I was, like, 25.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I've, like, always kind of liked doing it. It was, like, always my hobby as a kid.
Yeah. Your brother's an artist, too.
Yeah. I have two brothers. My younger brother, we're like a lot closer in age. He and I would like draw and paint together all the time when we were really young. And so he's like always been into it too. But more recently, my older brother like had this sort of like awakening. And he's doing this crazy like, it's like carved acrylic, like sealed in resin. And like they're like this prismatic, like iridescent sculptures almost. He's making guitar bodies now too. Yeah, and then my younger brother, just like crazy painter. It's sort of just like family thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your younger brother posts the acrylic stuff on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to see him kind of like diving into something like that, because it was not. It's like last 6 years, 7 years or something.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. So yeah, but all three of us are just kind of into it.
Mm-hmm. Were you at all inspired by, like, where you're from?
I was kind of inspired by, like, comic books and Ninja Turtles and anime. I mean, there was a lot of fine art mixed in there. I mean, Norman Rockwell is from where we're from, so, like, I guess you could say, sort of. And, like, my dad had tons of, like, fine art books, like, tons of, like, Gustav Klimt and Schiele books and a lot of that, like, Vienna art. I don't know if I was really inspired by Berkshire County, but, like, it's an artsy area. Yeah, but me personally, I think a lot of what I draw and paint has to do with, like, seeing a lot of cartoons as a kid and a lot of anime and, like, video games, honestly.
Is that also how you got into, like, graphic design?
I kind of got into graphic design because it was easier to get a job out of college. And the first internship that I got was at a book publishing company, and they needed, like, book layouts. And I started learning about typography and InDesign and Illustrator. I can do graphic design, but I don't think I'm like that great of a designer in the broad scheme. Like, I don't have as much of a knowledge or base or anything as some of the people I've worked with and or seen their work, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like friends of mine. My graphic design influence mainly comes from like my friends. I was never that into it where I would like buy books or, but I just became like really capable because the jobs I had, I just learned all the software and hung out with when Matt Kay and I had Sublet Studio. He's just like super good. So I learned like a lot about design just from working alongside him.
Yeah. So taking a step back.
Yeah.
Graduate school in New York.
I was actually in Boston.
Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you move to New York after that, or do you stay in Boston for a while?
I stayed 1 year in Boston because I didn't really have a plan. But I didn't really like it there. So I left. I like did like a work exchange program in Italy and did like farming for like 10 weeks. And then I moved to New York when I got back in like 2010 into 11. I think I started working at Momofuku.
Okay.
That's how I met Danny. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know. New York was super exciting to be here. I almost left actually in the first 6 months because being an expediter at Momofuku was so hard.
Yeah.
But I would just go to drawing class every week, like three times a week, because I didn't have any freelance or anything. But yeah, so went to school in Boston, went to Italy, came to New York.
And you're working in service.
Yeah. I worked at Momofuku for like 2.5 years or something. Wow. Like I said, it was really not like a super easy or pleasant job, but I ended up making like my closest friends there. I'm still friends with like most people I was friends with when I worked there, like Danny,
right.
Jed, and I don't know if you've met those guys, Peter Jensen,
so.
Mitch. Well, I worked there, and then I got the internship at the publishing company, and I was doing both. And then I got, like, a kind of a low salary at the publishing company. I quit Momofuku, and then the publishing company went out of business. And I went back into restaurants, and I was working at Kraft, and skipped a part. I got a job working for a skateboard company, which I thought was going to be, like, my career path, because I used to skateboard a lot. But I don't know. It was, like, a combination of things. I eventually got to a point where I just didn't really like going there, and I didn't like the work, and I wasn't learning anything, and they weren't getting much out of me.
What were you doing?
I was a graphic designer, like, apparel, like, t-shirts and stuff, but it just felt like a super dead end for me and the company, and so I quit, like, after 4 months. And then I went back into restaurants and worked at Kraft for, like, 2 years, expediting. But right around that time, Matt, who was my roommate, really pushed for us to get a studio space. I didn't really want to do it because I kind of went broke, like, after I quit so abruptly at the skateboard company. But he kind of wasn't that worried about money because I think he was working for MTV at the time. And he kind of just did it. And then we had the studio space and I was working at Kraft. It changed my work ethic, like, completely. I would just go there every day for work. I had small projects. I had, like, skateboards to do. I had album artwork to make for people on SoundCloud and, like, weird random stuff.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I was kind of chasing it. Like, I would email people on SoundCloud and the skateboard stuff. Like, one of the first people I ever worked for out of college was this company called Hops. They, like, gave me my first, like, portfolio piece, really. And it's still, like, I still do skateboard graphics. So, like, that stuff kind of comes through the door every couple of months, years. It's, like, kind of random. I started doing skateboard graphics out of there, and I was working for an Olita. I was, like, just doing a lot of work and more and more and more. And then Danny asked if he'd help me do a painting for an event that him and Niles were going to do. You know Niles?
Yeah.
So I did the first joint venture thing.
That was the sailboat,
yeah? Yeah, exactly. I did the first joint venture thing, and then Niles asked me if I would rebrand Maiden Lane after that and help them with their new location and do a mural for them. I started making, like, 10 times the amount of money per project all of a sudden.
You're working for your friends. Did they push you towards that? Were they like, I'm going to pay you more?
Danny was sort of like, let's do this. Like, just do it. Like, it'll be chill kind of thing. And so I wasn't getting paid a lot, but I was always getting paid a little. And then through him, and I was making money from the Nolita guys too. And I was making, like,
what were you doing?
I, like, was one of the first people to work for Nolita outside of Quincy. Do you know, are you familiar with Nolita? Now they're called New York or Nowhere.
No, I think of
it. It's like a lifestyle brand or apparel brand now. Okay. This guy Quincy made these prints that were just, like, lists of streets in different neighborhoods.
Okay. Yeah.
So you've probably seen his stuff.
Yeah.
And then through another friend, I got hired to do, like, a couple of facades for them, like those linear facade illustrations I do a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of, like, the start of the style, too. Okay. Like, that was, like, before I knew where it would go.
Right.
But so I was, like, working for Nolita and working for Danny and, like, working at Kraft and just kind of, like, bringing in money but once I started working with Niles, the Maiden Lane thing happened, and then he introduced me to this other guy, Robert, who had, like, another big paying project. At the time, I thought it was huge, and then I started working for Robert on a monthly retainer and Maiden Lane, and I started just having all this, like, money through design and art. And then Robert asked me if I could quit restaurants if he doubled my retainer. And so, yeah, that was how it, yeah. And that back then I was sort of like, I still had, like, very, like, erratic style. It was almost like my design work had more of a clear cut voice than my illustration work at that point, because I was just doing so much more of it. Yeah, it just became a thing, like, over the course of probably a year and a half. Definitely because of that studio space. Like, I like rely on having somewhere to work now.
Do you think, is it just a matter of, like, taking yourself a little bit more seriously?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you just feel capable. Like, you think you're capable, and that's the attitude you have to have. People need art for corporate reasons and for luxury reasons, but it's a real job to have. So it just became, like, a reality all of a sudden.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, investing your own money into it too also played a role in that?
Yeah, like, I was willing to take such low pay, like, and no pay at all, just to keep getting exposure and building out Instagram posts and just having work to point to. I remember when we bought a projector, it was, like, next level, like, thing. So I remember Matt bought it one day, and I was like, I'll throw down on that. I'll give you some cash for that, because I knew it would come in handy, but I didn't realize, like, how crazy it would get.
How so?
It just, I use it, like, constantly now. Okay. Like, for every mural project, I, like, not every single one, but 10 out of 12 or whatever, I've used it. Just speeds things up so much. If you need to hit a deadline, it's just, I don't know. It's just a really useful tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never would have thought of that.
Yeah. Well, it's like the drawing I made for mural is like 11 by 17. And then the mural is like the same thing, but in feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right? Mark?
Yeah.
Are there any other parts of your process you want to call out? Or like going back to the concept, because you mentioned that with like the Grand Street project that
oh,
it was like 3 weeks worth of concepting.
We can talk about concept. Yeah. So I used to make really weird concepts, especially working for Danny. It used to be like a ton of humor, like kind of pumped into it. And it would be like weird and kind of like grotesque and funny and like a lot of drinking and smoking jokes and stuff.
Right.
Now that I'm kind of just solo and I'm not working with Matt or Danny or anybody like over my shoulder as much, my concepts are kind of like more, one way to say it is straightforward, but it's like I offer up like a plain perspective that maybe you didn't see before kind of thing, where it's like a really good example is the piece that I entered for the Essex Street mural contest, where it's like basically just rows of things happening, and it starts with people like working on a farm and planting stuff, and then people are like harvesting, and then it gets loaded into a truck, and then the truck goes to the city, and then it gets unloaded, and then it goes to the purveyor, and then, and it's sort of like this play-by-play, like condensed into one person handing off to the next person, handing off to the next person. But in that case, it's sort of like you go to the market to get your coffee or your like avocado toast or whatever, and all everything you're eating like came from somewhere,
right?
And it's literally like everything you do like comes from somewhere on the planet, and it
you
either
don't think about yeah where it comes from.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one example of like it's not mind-bending or anything like that. I'm not, it's not really my goal either. It's to sort of like just be like, I'll just think like a little bit deeper, I guess, about something sort of simple,
right?
And maybe people don't even recognize it, but that's fine too. I always hope that it kind of like hits later where they're like, I'm on a room. I never thought that, like, someone actually farmed this thing that I ate.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do most of your concepts have, like, storylines like that?
Lately, yeah. I mean, especially since I started doing murals, because they allow for, like, almost, like, a timeline kind of.
Right.
And, like, the Grand Street mural, the one that I ended up painting, it's a similar thing where it's, like, this condensed view of, like, what actually happens in all their different areas and facilities. Most people walk through the hallway to do their laundry or whatever, and they don't realize that, like, you know, they have, like, VR kits in the basement for kids to use, and, like, Tai Chi classes and stuff like that, and so it's sort of just all smashed next to each other, so you can kind of see that. So it's, like, a literal portrait, in a way.
Yeah, of the space.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's, lately I've been, not anti-concept, but sort of just, like, it's more like a observation or representative or that kind of thing.
Do most of your clients understand, like, what, how much goes into concepting and like how much goes into your process in general? Or is there like an education piece, especially when it comes to pricing?
I usually have to price that part out.
Like
and
break it down,
be like,
yeah.
It really does take like the amount of time I spend looking at pictures, even though technically I'm not like drawing, it's time on the clock.
Right.
Yeah, it can take forever to be like figure out what I want to show with what I've been given. I don't know. Some people get it, most people don't. A lot of people, when I meet with them or someone hits me up, even people I work for a lot, they still say like, well, just do this one really quick, like seriously, like don't spend too much time on it, it's gonna look fine, or like, you know, do something that would be really easy for you.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know if I'll, it's literally everybody's guilty of it. It's not like, it's not unusual or weird at all, but I don't know if everybody realizes that everybody says that. It gets a little annoying, to be honest, because, well, it's like, don't spend too much time making my sandwich because I only want to pay $4 for it.
Right.
I don't know.
And then there's kind of the flip side too, where even if it doesn't take you that long, it
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So I would say that most people don't get it. There are a few. A lot of times, like, people who are, like, high up art directors and stuff like that, creative directors who have, like, gone through it all,
mm-hmm.
They'll get it. And they'll feed you, like, really good reference points. points to start with and stuff like that. Like, it's not everybody who doesn't get it, but...
They're also paid, like, $150,000
for the right? Yeah, exactly. So they better...
Yeah.
Yeah, they better understand. So, yeah, there. It's like, some people, like, they'll hand me, like, two, like, points of concept, and it'll be, like, super clear. And it'll get done really fast, and I'll be paid fairly. And other times, it's just like, how can we make this, like, cheaper, basically, is the question that everybody asks. Yeah. What I need to work on most is being stern about pricing.
Having a client to...
Yeah.
Have the money to...
I know. It's a struggle, because I feel, you know, there's certain sometimes where I feel bad charging what I think I'm owed. And sometimes I'm like, do I really need to charge, like, $400 for a drawing or $500? Like... is there a way I can get this kind of art into people's hands for cheaper who don't have the money? And so, yeah, I mean, that's something I think about too. But when every single person that's asking you to do work doesn't want to pay, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when my friend Sunny did the branding for my music project, and she charged me like very little. And I was like, I'm going to pay you this.
That's
but
nice.
Please charge everyone else more. Like, yeah, you should definitely reach out. Like, I don't have more money to give you, but up your prices.
No, it's nice too. And like, I worked for these guys in Boston, and they paid me super fair. And he was like, dude, you're so talented. You got to charge the next guy double, seriously. And some people are just like that.
Yeah.
But most people don't really want to pay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly, I would say.
Is that why you have a part-time job too?
Yeah, I mean, like, I moved to Florida 9 months ago. I don't have any connections there. Like, I have one friend who lives there, but we're not doing business together or anything like that. So I kind of took this part-time job because I needed to. I just needed to have enough money to live every week, kind of. And there's, like, there's potential there for me to make some good money, kind of, like, passively. I'm sort of sticking with it because I've seen in the past couple months that these guys kind of weren't bullshitting me. It might be pretty good for me. Like, it might be something where I can... put in a ton of work on the front end and then kind of like leave it, and I'll just like kind of collect some cash over the month.
Right.
So they're actually cool people. So, I mean, it's a lot of things. But yeah, the main reason is that I didn't have like a huge influx of work at the time, and I needed money. So I work part-time right now.
When you were in New York before you left, were you guys doing sublet up until you left?
Pretty much. Yeah. It kind of like fizzled a little bit right before I left. It was just like neither of us were really making money. It just wasn't working out. And so I kind of called it and left. Just like a little sad, but in the end it was like positive for both of us for sure.
Yeah.
Like without a doubt. Yeah, definitely. A big part of it too was the kind of momentum that was building behind the mural work. And I was sort of like not really interested in doing branding.
So that's the main focus was branding.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I just saw so much more potential and like a higher ceiling. And
interesting.
Yeah.
It's a stupid question, but I have to ask it. Is that the goal, to like full-time art?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. No doubt. Like,
I guess graphic design is art too. And
it, it feels like it's still kind of upward trending, but it's not like a straight up kind of thing. It's like it goes up and down and then higher up and then down and then higher up. June and July was like insane. I was so busy, like made really good money, and like was like, I don't need a job.
Yeah.
And then like end of July into August was like, oh yeah, I need to keep my job. So hopefully it starts to kind of just hit a level, where it's just like, I need to be better about planning, and I need to be better about like making realistic deadlines and not taking on too much bullshit work, I guess. None of it's really bullshit, but just projects that sort of jam me up and actually make me move slower, even if they like patch in a little bit of money. So I need to kind of like take a look at everything when I have some time in the next couple of months and set some goals.
Are you like keeping an eye out for RFPs and stuff like that?
I don't know what that means.
Request for proposals for like,
hotel
chains
I was... Like, when I lost that fucking contest, I was like, fuck that. Started throwing myself at these contests, and I entered a bunch, and it just, like, it was too, like, aggressive and reactive. So I've kind of, like, slowed down a little bit on that, but, I mean, that's a good idea, like, to see if I can just, because it worked one time.
I know this person who, like, she does most murals for, like, hotels and shit, and I'm pretty...
how she does it?
Yeah.
It's good to know.
And social media is deceiving, but she just, like... bought a really nice house in Joshua Tree.
Wow.
I think she's doing very well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I need to, like, sort of rethink how I look for work and how maybe actually look for work more rather than kind of, like, use my connections only. Yeah.
That's how it starts, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, someone told me to enter that one contest, and
you didn't even find it.
No, so it was like a super exciting process. I remember getting into the top three and just being like, "Holy shit!"
It's rewarding, right?
Yeah,
builds the confidence a bit.
Exactly, yeah. Like a lot of people looked at it, and there were a lot of it was good to make it to that tier.
My roommate and I were talking about that. She just got a job at Everly,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, "How does it feel to have like?" 200 to be the person of 200 and something people who applied.
Yeah.
Like, wild.
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when they told me too. There was like someone who told me I lost, and then she introduced me to the guy who wanted my work, and he was like, "This isn't a loss. Like, be proud of yourself, blah, blah, blah." It's true.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other people who saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's important to remind ourselves of that, right?
Definitely.
Speaking of which, last few questions.
Cool.
If you had to give a piece of advice, wisdom, or
to other artists,
yeah.
Or I don't know, you just have to start making as much, like, anything you want to do, you just have to do it. If you sit around thinking about doing it, you never do it, you never get better, you never find a style, whatever, like, it just doesn't, nothing happens unless you do something. No one's gonna hand you anything. Everything, even if I can say that Danny, like, asked me to do something, it wasn't like a handout. Like, I had to be capable in the first place to do it. So, like,
he saw that potential.
Yeah, he put his trust in me, which is one thing too, but like, he wouldn't have done it if I didn't have anything to show.
Right.
So, like, I could know that I'm really good at drawing and no one ever sees anything. So that goes into the other thing. You have to, like, put yourself out and try not to be a hater and, like, just see that, like, your competition or whatever you want to call it, it's just other people who put in a lot of time and effort. Most of the, like, your favorite artists are just, they're just really good because they put so much time in,
right.
To getting that on that level. And, you know, some people have privileges or whatever, but a lot of the times artists you admire, they just took a lot of time to get really good with concepts or paint or drafting, whatever. So it just takes time, and you have to do it, otherwise nothing happens. So
do you pay attention to the competition and what other people are doing?
I follow a ton of other, like, mural artists, and sometimes it's, like, hard to not be like, "Oh man, what the fuck, this guy is, like, killing it." But at the same time, it's like, well, what am I gonna do about it? Like, just complain?
Right.
Yeah, I stay up on Instagram. It's just such a good platform for that. Like, you can find so many sick artists. To the point now where, like, I have, like, my favorites, and even ones that I see that are so totally incredibly amazing, I'll be like, I don't know if I need to follow them.
Right.
Like, it's, so I try to stay on top as much as I can.
Yeah. You find it, like, drives you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's more like, they're doing great work, and, like.
Especially when you see people who, like, you know. There's definitely some people. This one girl, Allison, who I went to college with, she, like, brought me in to this, like, mural collective during Art Basel because, like, I had something fall through, and she knew I was going to be in Miami painting, but, like, I fell through. She brought me to where she was painting because it was just, like, a school with, like, 100 walls. Man, she was painting, like, an 1,800-square-foot mural when I got there, and I was like, holy shit. Like, we went to Mass Art together. I've only seen, like, your gouache paintings.
Right.
You know, so that's, like, another thing is, like, seeing people you were kind of your peers, like, killing it, and it's because they put the work in.
Right.
Yeah.
What does the word process mean to you?
Literally, process is, like, starting with, like, foggy idea, putting it on paper, and, like, tracing it over and over and over again until there's, like, clarity at the top. From start to finish, you have this, like, it's weird because sometimes you have a really vivid idea in your mind, and it just can't put it on paper until you run through, like, the whole process of looking at things that remind you of what you're thinking of, and then sketching, and then sketching and sketching and finalizing.
Right.
So,
is there anything creative that you do for yourself that you don't share or don't?
I have, like, a sketchbook I'm working on now, which is, like, very technical. But no, I mean, most of it has to do with painting and illustration. I share, there's actually a lot of stuff I don't share. I used to be just sharing everything, like every little doodle and stuff like that. But now I sort of like, if I doodle stuff for fun or I kind of do sketches to iron out ideas, I don't usually like share that stuff anymore. I don't really share process as much as I used to. Yeah. Unless it's like kind of interesting. Yeah.
As an artist, do you find that there's value in seeing other people's process?
Yeah. It's like, for me, especially with like mural work, mm-hmm. I always wonder how people scale up.
Right.
Like, because I know a couple ways of doing it, and like when you start doing murals that like are 100 feet tall and stuff like that, I feel like my techniques would fall apart. So
yeah,
I feel like it's always hugely helpful, and a lot of times it's something really simple where this, oh, my friend had like a short throw projector and it just goes that big,
mm-hmm.
and like, so you're like, oh shit, I can do that too. And a lot of times if you take a class or you read a book or you check like a YouTube video out, you can take like bits from that and like add it to your own techniques, and it's like super useful.
Yeah. Is there any reason why you don't really share your process anymore?
I just kind of have been treating Instagram more like a portfolio lately. My aim is to kind of keep it like super quality and just more like curated and not posting as much in general. I do share a lot of stuff on the stories, random weird bits, and I don't know if people even get it because you can't look at it for that long, but a lot of times I'll share like sketch work only there. Knowing other people's process or just like technical things is like so useful.
That's why this scene exists. But yeah. I find it fascinating to learn about process of things I'll never do, right?
Yeah.
How does that work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know. There's a lot of things you just can't imagine how people get it done.
Right. Cool. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What is something you're excited about today?
Today? I'm excited to get some food after this. I'm excited to be in New York and eat some good food. I've just been kind of like on a grazing situation. Went to Winsun, and then I went to Abrasso, and today I went to Kokoro and got soba noodles. After this, I might get some pho. I don't know.
Nice.
That's literally right now, today.
Yeah.
What I'm excited about.
Cool.
And then, yeah, beyond that, painting at North Brooklyn Farm on Friday.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Sweet. Thanks for doing
this. No, thank you.
Oh, where can people find you?
Oh, Instagram, @MassimoMangiardo.